Hi, and welcome to Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship. My name is Fee Sullivan, Senior Pastor, and I truly want to thank you for joining us today as we study the Word of God. It is our desire that your life be touched today, and we pray that the Lord will speak to you with this message. And at the conclusion of this message, we have some important information for you. Please join me now as we begin our message.
Did you bring your Bibles? Amen. Turn with me to 1 Timothy chapter 6. And we're going to start this wonderful chapter, and we're going to expound verses 1 through 5, and allow me to go before the throne room of grace. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we thank you, Lord, for this time of worship. We thank you for the testimonies. We thank you, Lord, for what you're doing in our lives. Father, we're asking now, God, that you would give us ears to hear and eyes to see what the Spirit is saying to the church, and we bless you and praise you in Jesus' name. I've entitled this evening's message, Humble Thyself in Christ. We can humble ourselves, but without Jesus, it's all in vain. Can I get an amen? It has to be done through the Spirit of Christ, because Jesus came in a spirit of humility. He came to humble himself before mankind. Did you know he humbled himself before you? And did you know that in the Old Testament, you know, I'm always reading this, and sometimes I forget to, but may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face shine upon you. May the Lord be gracious to you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you. Well, guess what he's doing? He's coming to us on bended knee like this. And then he's lifting us up like a kid, and he's smiling at us. I mean, I'm telling you, it's mind-blowing when you break it down on how God loves us so much. If you have to understand the depth. But one of the things that we're going to see tonight, and we're reminded in 1 Timothy, is the Pharisees, the religious folks. This is the problem he had. He didn't have a problem with the poor. He didn't have a problem with the widows. He didn't have a problem with the downtrodden. He didn't even have a problem with the unbelievers. He came to save and seek those that were lost. His problem was with the religious folks, the Pharisees. You know why? Because they had a form of godliness, but they denied the power thereof. So they knew the law of Moses, but one of the things that they did is they rejected the grace of God. They didn't understand that God is merciful. And so one of the things that I heard today was awesome. Billy Graham said it like this: you know what? I don't want justice, because justice would have sent me to hell. God would have said, listen, you're before my court now, and in all these things, I send you to hell. No, you know what he said? I don't want justice. I want mercy. Mercy. And that's what you and I have obtained through Christ, was mercy. Hallelujah. This is why that message, yes, it's still resounding in my spirit from last Sunday, because God had mercy on us. Can I get an amen? So let's look at verses 1 through 5. And the Bible reads, let as many bondservants as are under the yoke count their own masters worthy of all, so that the name of God and his doctrine, meaning teaching, may not be blasphemed. And those who have believing masters, let them not despise them because they are brethren, but rather serve them, because those who are benefited are believers and beloved. Aren't you so blessed that you're a believer and you're called his beloved? Teach and exhort these things. This was written for the church. The word of God was written for us believers, for the church, for the body of Christ. Can I get an amen? What we see about the unbelievers, he describes throughout the Word of God the condition of mankind. But when we come into the saving knowledge and he brings us into the family of God, now he's teaching us how to walk in his ways. Never think for one moment God is condemning you, because he doesn't. That's not in his nature. He'll convict us, but there's a difference between being condemned and being convicted. Can I get amen? And then it goes on to say in verse 3, if anyone teaches otherwise and does not consent to wholesome words, even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, and to the teaching or doctrine which accords with godliness, it says in verse 4, he is proud, knowing nothing, but is obsessed, disputes and and arguments over words, from which come envy, strife, reveling, evil suspicions. Look at verse 5. Useless wranglings of men of corrupt minds and destitute of the truth, who suppose that godliness is a means of gain. For such withdraw yourself. In other words, what God is saying is there are folks that their words, their lifestyle, their mindset is so contaminated, even after you've come with love and truth. There's some, the Bible says, you have to withdraw. You know why? Because their spirit will contaminate you. If you're around all that cussing and swearing and chewing and smoking and drinking, you know what? It's going to jump on you. And God said, after a while, withdraw yourself. Why? Because God wants him. God wants us to be sanctified by him, to be set apart. So let's look at verse 1 and 2. It says, let as many bondservants that are under the yoke count their own masters worthy of all, so that the name of God and his teachings or doctrines may not be blasphemed. And those who have believing masters, let them not despise them because they are brethren, but rather serve them because those who are benefited are believers and beloved. Teach and exhort these things. Now, what is he talking about masters at this time? Well, during this time, it was not about a political issue. It was not even about a racial issue. What it was is that there was a whole lot of poverty during this time, a whole lot of poverty. And so then there were people of wealth. And so in the King James connotation is the servant was considered like a slave. And then there's masters. It changed here in our day and time, which became racial, which became political. But not in this context here. Saints, in the Roman culture of Paul's day, slavery was a deep-rooted institution. It was also widespread since estimates placed the number of slaves to about maybe 60 million, or half the population of the whole entire empire. So there were rich folks, and there were people that were considered slaves. Slaves conducted most of the functions of society during this time. From the most menial task to work as tutors for children, estate managers, they were used as tools, used in the machinery and technology of that day. And they were limited in technology like we have today. Can I get amen? Slavery was an economic rather than a racially motivated thing. People usually became slaves as a result of war and poverty. And granted, there was a whole bunch of wars back then, amen? Nothing's changed. Nothing's changed. And so a great social and legal gulf separated masters and slaves. Both Paul and Peter gave instructions about master and slave relations. So this is where we look into God's word and find in other scriptures regarding the master and the slave. How many believe and know this for a fact that Jesus is our master now and we are slaves unto God? Can I get an amen? Come on. We're following Jesus. Amen. Listen, we had a fierce taskmaster before we got saved, before God adopted us. Man, the devil, man, would just whip us. Bam, bam. And use us and kick us to the curb and then drag us back into his camp and use us again. He was a cruel slave master. We call him Slewfoot. Old Slewfoot. That's who Satan was. And guess what? His day's coming. God's going to cast him into the pit, the lake of fire that will burn it forever. But we need to see where, in tonight's teaching, where we find masters and slaves. Let's go to the first scripture here, 1 Corinthians 7:20. Look at this. Let each one remain in the same calling in which he was called, where you were called while a slave. You catch that? And then it goes on to say, do not be concerned about it, but if you can be made free, rather use it. So when Jesus came, he set the captives free, meaning their sinful state, not their economic state. So even though they were still slaves unto their master, man, they were free to worship God now. At that time, they didn't have no one to worship but idols. But now Jesus came. Hallelujah. And he set the captives free. Amen. Guess what? He set you free. Some of you were slave to alcohol. Some of you were slave to sex. Some of you were slave, hallelujah, to tobacco and to marijuana, to all kinds of. Some of you were slave to gossip. And he set us free, didn't he? Amen. Amen. Thank you, God. Look at verse 22. For he who is called in the Lord while a slave is the Lord's, what? Freedman. Thank you, Jesus. Aren't you so blessed? We're free now. Hallelujah. We're free to worship the King, to serve the King, to honor the King, to win souls unto him. Come on. Likewise, he is called. Look at this. Likewise, he who is called while free is Christ's slave. So if you don't think you're a slave, read again. We are all slaves of Christ. Can I get amen? And I'd rather be a slave to him than a slave to old Slew Foot. Oh, yeah. Look at verse 23. You were bought at a price. Hallelujah. Do not become slaves of men. Can I get an amen? Amen. Brethren, let each one remain with God in that state in which he was called. God has called us out of darkness into his marvelous light now. Hallelujah. Now we're slaves of the King. Hallelujah. Man, you could call me, I don't care what kind of slave you want to call me, Lord, but I just want to serve you. I just want to bless you and praise you because I know now I'm not going to hell. Aren't you so blessed to know that you're not going to that pit? Man, he saved us for such a time as this. Thank you, God. Hallelujah. And this is why we need to rejoice every day as believers. Thank you, God, that we were not the same as we once were. Look at this next verse of scripture right here in Galatians. For you are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. Do you believe that? You and I, we are now the sons and children of God. But look at this. For as many of you were baptized into Christ, have put on Christ. So now there is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither slave nor free. Well, look at that. Hallelujah. And one time we were a slave, like I said, to the devil. There is neither male nor female, for you are all one in what? Christ Jesus. And if you are Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. Man, in about a month and a half from now, we're going to the promised land. Hallelujah. How many can't wait to get to the promised land? Come on, man. We're going to go see where the Patriots walked. We're going to see where Jesus was baptized in the Jordan. Hallelujah. We're going to see where he walked on the Sea of Galilee. Come on, man. We're going to go. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. By the grace of God. Because why? Why are we so excited about it? Because we're now Abraham's seed. God put us, he put that in us. For the love for the land, for the love of God, and for the love who the Lord Jesus Christ is. Did you know that he's Hebrew? He's not a Gentile God. He came from the lineage, from Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And never forget that. Can I get an amen? Amen. Hallelujah. Now look at Ephesians. Ephesians tells us this. Bondservants, be obedient to those who are your masters according to the flesh. In other words, if we apply this today, some of you are still working. Some of you are retired. Some of you have to adhere to someone. Can I get an amen? So those of you that are still working, you are a servant, a slave type. But you're free in Christ. That's the difference. Hallelujah. You're not there all miserable. Whoa, whoa, it's me. Man, when do I get off of work? I got to get out. No, just rejoice and be a light shining bright. That, you know what? That your own master there at the house or wherever you're working will see you and say, man, there's something about you that I want. There's something different. Look at this. According to the flesh, with fear and trembling and sincerity of heart, as to Christ. Not with eye service as men pleasers, but as bondservants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart. Man, if you're serving the Lord, because, oh man, it's Wednesday, I gotta go. You got the wrong, it's all for the wrong reason. You gotta go, man, I'm coming to worship the King. man, I'm coming to hear what you have to say to me, Lord. I need you to strengthen me tonight, God. I'm going through something right now, God, and only you can strengthen me. Can I get an amen? You always come in the house of God with great expectation. Hallelujah. Because God, all he wants to do is build you up and edify you. When you go right back out in that world, all they want to do is this. You dirty rat, you should have never done that. Oh, yeah, that's how they want to treat you. Look at this. Doing the will of God from the heart with goodwill, doing good service. So on the job, in school, at home, around family, around friends, or around acquaintances, you know what? Do your best. Show your best. And say, oh, God, empower me because I want them to see you, Jesus. I want them to see you. I don't want them to see me. I want all these people to see you, Christ. With goodwill, doing good service. Ask to the Lord and not to men. We're not doing it because we want to get points. Oh, man, look at me now. No, it's all about Jesus. It's got to be about Jesus. Can I get an amen? Look at verse 8 here. Knowing that whatever good anyone does, he will receive the same from the Lord, whether he is a slave or free. Come on. I like to put it like this. Whether you're still working for the man or you're retired. Come on. Whether you graduated from college and now you're applying and waiting for a masterate kind of degree to go get a nice job. Don't matter. Whether he is a slave or free. And you, masters, now the word's talking about bosses that are believers. Did you know that there's awesome bosses that are believers? God has no respecter of men. He will save a rich man and a poor man. Can I get an amen? So now he's speaking what? Masters, do the same things to them. Give up threatening, knowing that your own master also is in what? Is in heaven. And there is no partiality with him. In other words, God does not, oh, well, you know what? You got a lot of wealth here. And this one, man, he only drops 50 cents in the offering. You give all kinds. God don't do that. There's no partiality with God. Can I get an amen? That's the word right up there. Hallelujah. But one thing I'm so grateful for, as I mentioned earlier, thank you, God, for your mercy. Because if you were to give me what I deserve, Isaiah says hell opens up its mouth every day and people drop in it. But thank God for the blood. Can I get amen? Look at Colossians 3:22. Look at this. It says right in here, bondservants, obey in all things your masters according to the flesh, not with eye service as men pleasers, but in sincerity of heart, fearing God. This is what we need to learn, is to always fear God. Can I get amen? Know that he sees all, knows all. Hallelujah. His thoughts are higher than ours. Did you know that his thoughts are way higher than ours? Thank God that he's a greater thinker than I. Because, man, we could think up some foul stuff. Look at this. And whatever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord. Thank you, God, not to men. Amen. Why? Verse 24, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the reward of the inheritance. What? What inheritance? Oh, you didn't know? Did you know that you have now a living trust? What do you mean? Yeah. You and I, we have a living trust. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not to your own understanding. Acknowledge him in all your ways, and he will direct your path. No, but what this means is when he adopted us, the Bible says we are now joint heirs with Christ. What does that mean? That means everything that Jesus has is now ours. What? Man, and none of us deserve one iota. And we can't even buy a fraction of what he has given us. We can't. You can work. Your 401k cannot pay for any of it. You may be saving for years and years. You may have a couple of hundred thousand in your 401k. You know what? That pales in comparison to the inheritance he has given you and I. So we can't purchase this. It's all given to us grace-based. thoughtfully and graciously. And it's through his mercy. His mercy. Look at this right up here. Let's go to the next clip right here. And Titus, exhort bondservants, meaning us. We're a bondservant to Christ now. We're bonded with him. Hallelujah. By his grace and by his mercy. To be obedient to their own masters, to be well-pleasing in all things, not answering back, not pilfering, but showing all good fidelity, that they may adorn the teaching. That means doctrine always means teaching of God and Savior in all things. All things. Listen, God is interested in everything you do. And he wants to be a part of everything you do. So include him in your plans. Include him in your thoughts. Include him in your prayers. Why? Because he has the best. Whatever we're planning, he has a better plan. Can I get an amen? Now, I love 1 Peter and 2 Peter. Now, there's some portions of scripture in Peter. Man, I read it for the first time years ago. And I said, oh my gosh, is this really going to happen? Oh yeah, everything you read will happen. Everything you read has happened. Everything you read is currently happening. Okay? So, Jesus is the same what? Yesterday, today, and forever. So this is the living word. And if it's the living word, it pertains to us today. Can I get amen? This is why we're here. Why? Because the living God is living inside you. And we love to hear the word of God. Why? Because faith cometh by hearing and reading the word of God. So every time we hear God's word preached through the scripture, our faith gets built up. Man, we leave all built up, man, and say, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, God. And there are things that we already know, but as we hear it again, he brings up the remembrance because God already downloaded it in your being. So the word of God is already in you. And then he brings it up for your remembrance so that you could apply it for today. Aren't you so blessed? Thank you, God. Look at this in 1 Peter 2. Therefore, submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake, whether to the king as supreme or to governors and to those who are sent for him for the punishment of evildoers and the praise of those who do good. The horrific thing that took place on Valentine's Day. What happened? What happened that day? Seventeen, right? Were murdered for no reason. This is why God has raised up an ordinance. This is why he raised up governments. This is why he had to implement laws in our constitute, our government. Why? Because if we didn't have laws to adhere to, man, everyone would be living like the cowboy days. As soon as someone came to your door, you'd come out with a rifle. Who are you? We need laws. Can I get an amen? We do need laws. And you know what the solution is for the schools? Forget about the NRA and this gun control. Man, just put people that are armed right there and put metal detectors as they walk in and they'll walk out. Can I get an amen? I saw this big, huge, it was like a billboard. And do you know that there has not been one shooting in Israel? You know why? I saw the kids are going through in school, and the teacher in the back has an AR-15. The teacher does. So it's like, come on, mess with me. That's what we need. Can I get an amen? Look, you got arms in banks. You got them in federal buildings. You got people armed up. Why not the schools? Thank you, God. But see, God raised up the ordinance to punish evildoers. Those that are wicked-minded. An evildoer is not a child of God. And you know why? Because he has washed us and cleansed us and gave us a new mind. And that new mind's in Christ. Can I get an amen? Aren't you so blessed? We're not counted. Hey, listen. As a child of God, we are not counted as sinners and as unbelievers, we are now, hallelujah, sons and daughters of the King. The Bible says we are a royal priesthood, a peculiar people. Thank you, God. God looks at us differently now. Why? Because we're His. But look at this in verse 11 here, in verse 15. For this is the will of God, that by doing good you may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men. Man, there's some fools out there. Huh. We used to call each other that. Man, don't say that no more. Don't say that. Well, God can say it. The ignorance of foolish men. As free, yet not using liberty as a cloak for vice, but as bondservants of God. Honor all people. Can I get an amen? Just honor them. Love the brotherhood. Fear God. Honor the King. Servants, be submissive to your masters with what? All fear. Thank you, God. Not only to the good and gentle, but also to the hard. How many had a boss, man, that would just curse you out? When I first got saved at Western Lumber, we worked out in the lumber yard, and it was open. There was like 60 men in the lumber yard, and I had a little station. And before I got saved, I had a big old boom box out there blasting 92.5. Uh-huh. You remember that station? Then it went to Z90. So I was blasting all that, and then I got saved. I got saved. And so, man, I started putting on the preaching of the word. Man, I'm telling you, I started ruffling some feathers. And my boss, Frank Lococo, came running to me. Little short Sicilian guy. Did you know that this offends everybody? I need you to take that off. I go, okay, that guy's playing rock and roll over there. Tell him to shut it. It offends me. That guy over there is playing country and western. That offends me. Well, you know what? This is my area, and this is what I want to play. And you know what? He just went away huffing and puffing. Because he couldn't, because that was a rule. You had your little space, and you had your radio, and you can play whatever you wanted, as long as it wasn't profane. But he was harsh. Because he said some swear words, too. So, be submissive to with all fear, not only to the good, but even to the harsh. I had to let him know the truth in love. And I said, this is my time. He went away, grumbling. Verse 19, for this is commendable. If because of conscience toward God, one endures grief, suffering wrongfully. Do you know there's people that are going to say stuff about you. They're going to wrongfully accuse you, but you know what? Just endure it. Don't try to take revenge. Don't be vengeful. You know why? God said, vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. He will repay them in his own time. So don't put your hand in it. Don't even go there. Don't say, Ben, what up with that? No, just be silent. Let there be a holy hush on your lips. Because the world, man, wants to get right back in your face. You said what? Oh, yeah. God said, don't act like that no more. No. We have to sometimes suffering wrongfully. Do you see that up there? For what credit is it if when you were beaten with your faults, you take it patiently? But when you do good and suffer, if you take it patiently, this is commendable before God. So God knows. He'll don't worry. I got you covered. Just keep doing what I called you to do. Don't worry about it. I'll take care of them. Just pray for them. Show them love in return. Can I get an amen? It's easy to get in their face. But don't do that. That's old school. Look at verse 21. For this you were called because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that you should follow what? His steps. Can I get an amen? Follow Jesus. Follow what he did. Listen, the only ones he had a problem with were the religious folks, the Pharisees, the Sadducees. You know why? They were trying to tell the people that he was a false person, that he was not God. And they were duping the people For you were called because Christ also suffered, leaving us an example that you should follow his steps, who committed no sin. Jesus committed no sins. Or was deceit found in his mouth? This is why I love reading the epistles, because you'll find out who Jesus really was. He was a man. He was a man's man. Hallelujah. Who then he was reviled, did not revile. See, look, he didn't revile in return. You catch that? When he suffered, he did not threaten, but committed himself to him who judges righteously. So Jesus fell at his Father's mercy. God, have your way. You sent me here for a reason. And you got to look at it like this. Tonight, when you leave, you are now different because God has changed you. You're not like the world no more. So God made a difference in your life. So now you walk in his ways. Hallelujah. And he will bless your life. Can I get amen? He will bless you beyond comprehension. Look at this. Because in verse 24, who himself bore our sins in his own body, what? On a tree, that we, having died to sins, might live for righteousness. You see that? When we gave our hearts to Christ, we were buried with him in baptism. And then the Bible says the old man is buried. We came out of that water as a new creature in Christ. Thank you, God. And the blood of Jesus cleansed us from our past. He cleansed us in our present, and he also cleansed us in our future. Can I get an amen? Amen. Hallelujah. It doesn't give us a license to sin. We just know, oh God, you are covering me all the way until you come back for me. Amen. Thank you, God. Only Jesus can do something like that. Look at this. That we might live for righteousness, by whose stripes, what? You were healed. What did he heal you from? Sin, debauchery, darkness, wickedness, all kinds of things. Things that we used to, man, just in the dark. Man, they were wicked. And yet he still, man, this is what baffles me. And this is, should be always something that we can just cry out all the time and say, thank you, Lord. It's despite of our wicked condition, despite of our wicked, no matter what we were involved in, the mouth we had, the addictions we had, the perverted mind that we had, he came and said, I'm going to have mercy on you and call you into this wonderful salvation of mine. Man, I'm telling you, thank you. And now look, we're all seated in what? Heavenly places. Thank you, God. Thank you, Jesus. Now, I know everyone doesn't have one of those testimonies. Man, God delivered me from this. God delivered me from that. You know what? There's some people that were really good, honest to God, good-natured people. But they weren't born again. They still needed God. They still needed to be washed in the blood. Can I get amen? You could be goody-good two-shoes all you want. Hallelujah, man, you know, and you don't maybe have a testimony like most of us do here, especially if you grew up where I grew up, but you still needed Jesus. You still needed to be washed in the blood, amen? So saints, the abolition of slavery was not on the horizon for masters and slaves during the Roman Empire. So instructions about the touchy topic became extremely valuable. While not speaking against the institution of slavery, they gave guidelines for Christian slaves and Christian masters, meaning God's going to change all this. But while you are alive, honor the King. Honor Jesus. And guess what? Today, we can honestly look now at the life of Billy Graham, who lived for 99 years. But that's all he got was 99. My dad, praise God, is alive. He's 92. I don't know when the day that God's going to take him home. Some of you have loved ones, precious loved ones that went on. But that their life here on earth came to an end here. But as soon as they closed their eyes and opened them again, they were in glory with God. Hallelujah. And so while we're here, we just need to learn to honor the King. See, look at it like this. We're in training. We're in school. We're learning to love the things of God. Not that it's going to give us any points to get it. No, he's already washed it. He already gave us eternal life. Can I get an amen? Amen. But let me just say this, and I can honestly say this in my own life. Learning the things of God and honoring him has made my whole life better. Amen. It has enriched me. It has delivered me from those vices that I would have been dead already in. And so by learning to honor him, man, I can honestly say with God's grace that I'm a blessed man and you are a blessed people. Can I get amen? Amen. Thank you, God. So let's look at verse 3. Let's look at verse 3 here in 1 Timothy chapter 6. If anyone teaches otherwise and does not consent to wholesome words, even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, and to the doctrine which accords with what? Godliness. Man, it says, saints, once again, Paul repeated the command for Timothy to teach the truth that Paul was given and encourage everyone to obey them. This is what we're learning. Listen, we're not perfect. How many have figured that out? We're not perfect. But you know what he's asking us to do now? And it does not, it's not a work salvation, meaning I got to do this to get in. No. He's teaching us how to obey him now, because before we got saved, we didn't know how to obey nobody. We were our own master, weren't we? Come on, we rebelled against our parents. We rebelled against school teachers. We rebelled against the law. We rebelled against one another. But now God is teaching us how to obey him. And once we learn to obey him, man, he makes our life even that more enriched. Thank you, God. Paul wanted to make sure Timothy understood that the false teachers were denying the truth and that the sound, wholesome teaching of the Lord Jesus Christ was a better way. Any teaching different from the Christian doctrine based on God's word was false teaching. And who did he have a problem with? The Pharisees. Man, they would beat their chest. Oh, look at me, man. I'll give my tenth. And they would look down at these poor people that were just saying, God, have mercy on me. And they were walking around proud as a peacock. But God had to deal with them harshly, didn't he? This is the only, in the Gospels, it's the only time you see where Jesus had to be harsh with these characters. Look at this in Matthew right up here. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites. What? For you are like whitewashed tombs, which indeed appear beautiful outwardly, but inside are full of dead men's bones and uncleanness. Man, he had a problem with these folks, because they were looking almighty. They, you know, they had the robes, man. They had the jewels. They had the nice kicks. Oh, yeah. They had everything going on. Even so, you also outwardly appear righteous to men, but inside you are full of hypocrisy and lawlessness. Man, this is why Paul was telling Timothy, you got to know when there's a false teacher coming into your church, you got to rebuke them right away. You got to let them know that's heresy. When those folks come knocking on your door on Saturday mornings, man, you got to put them in their place. So, yeah. All right, let's have a Bible study. Let's pray in the Holy Ghost. Come on. They will cut loose. Why? Because they're told, don't pray with those folks that read the Bible. You know why? Because they will be exposed. And God will wake them up and say, man, what am I in? What am I involved in? And then that, yeah, you want them at that place so they'll fall on their face and repent and ask God to forgive them. Look at the next verse. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, because you build the tombs of prophets and adorn the monuments of the righteous, and say, if we had lived in the days of our fathers, we would not have been partakers with them in the blood of the prophets. Yeah, all right. Look at the next verse. Therefore, you are witnesses against yourselves that you are the sons of those who murdered the prophets. Man, these folks were being indicted by the Lord Jesus Christ. What God was saying to them, man, he was telling them, he basically says, I'm giving you your death sentence. You know, because a lot of them would not repent. This is why he had a hard problem with these religious folks. Look at this. Fill up then the measure of your father's guilt, serpents, brood of vipers. How can you escape the condemnation of hell? Ouch. What? That's where they were going to slip right into. Because they rejected the mercy and the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's go now in verse 4 of 1 Timothy chapter 6. We looked at godliness. He is proud, knowing nothing, but is obsessed with disputes and arguments over words. You ever share the grace of God with someone and they argue with you about God's word? Huh? Oh, I know the man upstairs. You ever heard that one? Yeah, man, I know the man upstairs. Oh, you do? What's his name? Oh, just the man upstairs. Yeah, but he's got a name. And they'll just argue with you. And so you know what? The Bible says, don't cast your pearls before the swine. After you've shared, after you witnessed, man, don't try to convince them anymore. They're just going to come out with venom. God has to deal with them now. You just smile, still love them. But leave them alone now. You know why? Because all they want to do is ruffle your feathers so that you will engage with them. They just want to pick a fight. You gotta know the schemes of the devil. He just wants you to get out of track. He wants you to jump outside of the will of God so you could contend with them. We don't have to go that route. Can I get an amen? So, he is proud, knowing nothing, but is obsessed with disputes, arguments over words which come from envy, strife, reviling, and evil suspicions. Oh, yeah. Be careful when you share with someone about God's grace and they kind of know who you are. Well, didn't you used to do this? Didn't I see you doing that? What do you mean? You're a child of God now. Man, I'm telling you, that's somehow, some way they want to pick a fight with you. Share the love of God and be gone. You don't have to sit there try to defend. You know, God can defend himself all by himself. Paul revealed the real character of the false teachers behind their veneer prestige. These are not very flattering words for a group of teachers who apparently thought very highly of themselves. Conceited describes the trait of a person having an excessively favorable opinion of his own ability or importance. Someone that's trying to get their point across. I mean, just don't even argue. Don't even engage. You share the love of God and be gone. Amen? You know why? Because this is what you'll be dealing with, folks like this. Let's go to the next verse of scripture. Proverbs 8:13, the fear of the Lord is to hate evil. Pride and arrogance and the evil way and the perverse mouth, God says, I hate. So if God hates the perverse mouth, don't be hanging out with those men who got that mouth. And all they want to do is curse you out. Bleepity, bleepity, bleep, and then Jesus Christ comes out. There's some movies in Hollywood, the actors, they love to do that. I don't even watch them no more. I cut them off. You know who's a bleepity, bleep, Jesus Christ kind of actor? Bruce Willis. Bleepity, bleep, bleepity, bleep, and then Jesus Christ. Man, one day you're going to see him face to face. Now, this is why Paul knew the Old Testament. Remember, Paul was a scholar. He was a Hebrew of Hebrews. This guy was from the line of Benjamin. He knew the scriptures very well. So he was training up Timothy, saying, Timothy, listen, there's going to be people that's going to be coming into the church, and you need to discern this. Why? Because they operate right like this. Let's go to the next scripture. God says, these things the Lord hates. Listen, if God hates something, you better hate it too. Don't you start liking the opposite of what God hates. Did you know that God's word is forever settled in heaven? Look at this. Yes, seven are an abomination to him. A proud look. And they're like, what up, man? A lying tongue. Someone's just lying. Look at this. Hands that shed innocent blood. Man, you pray for that kid who went in there atrociously and murdered 17 people. He shed innocent blood. A heart that devises wicked plans, scheming up things. Man, how can I make this person hurt? How can I hurt these people? How can I viciously attack them? This is what that is, scheming up wicked plans. Feet that are swift and running to evil. They'd rather do evil than the things of God, which are holy. God hates these things. Look at this. A false witness. Hey, did you know that? Psst, 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 psst. And it's not even true. You heard it from a rumor. You didn't verify it and check it out. But because you know this person, now you think it's truth. And now look, it's a false witness that speaks lies. Be careful. These are the things that God, as children of God, we are not to partake in anymore. Can I get an amen? Yes, we're saved, we're sanctified, we're heaven bound. But he's teaching us we don't need to be like the world no more. Can I get amen? Learn to disengage from this stuff. A false witness who speaks lies and who sows discord amongst the brethren. Wow, you know what sowing discord is? That's going to someone in private and speaking about another person and trying to get your heart to turn against that person. Wow, that's heavy. God says, I hate it. And this is what Paul was trying to teach Timothy. And sometimes, man, we can fall ourselves in that same trap. Now, God will convict us, but the devil will condemn you. He said, man, you blew it now. You ain't no child of God. That's a lie from the pit. Because I don't care how much we fall short, Jesus will still cleanse us and wash us from all unrighteousness. Can I get amen? My little children, I pray that you sin not, but if you do, you have an advocate with the Father, Christ Jesus, who will cleanse you and wash you. All God is saying is just repent and turn and say, God, forgive me. God, cleanse me. And you walk away from that and keep moving forward. Amen? This is what Timothy was going to encounter. And Paul had to write this letter to him because folks were going to come into the church with these evil intentions. He was young. He was a young pastor. Very young. The false teacher showed all that and more. Yet Paul confronted that conceit by explaining that they were actually just ignorant. There's some ignorant folk that you just cannot change. Don't think you can change them. They're set in their ways. Only God could deal with them. Can I get amen? The utter falsehood of both the content and the conclusions of their teaching was worthy, not of pride, but shame. So we're going to look at this last verse and we close for tonight. Useless wranglings of men, corrupt minds, and destitute of the truth, who suppose that godliness is a means of gain. From such withdraw. Man, thank you, God. Aren't you so blessed? Aren't you so blessed to know that God has your back? That God wants the best for us? That God wants us to continue to walk in the will of God? Hallelujah. Thank you, God. But 2 Peter, man, explains that these folks who won't repent, these folks that we don't know who they are or what they do, but they'll come into our life one way or the other. They may even come into the church. We don't know. But God forewarns us, prepares us. He builds us up so that we would have spiritual what? Discernment. There's a difference from suspicion and discernment. Discernment is God gives you discernment and says, just be careful. Just be careful. That's all he wants us to be. Be careful. Can I get an amen? So we're going to close in 2 Peter, and then we'll pray. But there were false prophets too in those days, just as there will be false teachers among you. When all they want is your money and they give you no scripture, run. They won't give you no word. They will cleverly tell their lies about God, turning against even their master who bought them. But theirs will be a swift and terrible end. Wow. Man, you got to believe God's word, what he's saying to us tonight about these folks that don't know God. And they come to deceive. Look at this next verse right up here. Many will follow their evil teaching that there is nothing wrong with sexual sin. And because of them, Christ and his way will be scoffed at. These teachers in their greed will tell you anything to get hold of your money. Jesus. Oh, we didn't collect enough today. We're going to have to take a second offering. You ever got that one? I've been to a church, I'm not going to say, they took three offerings. What? For what? Wasn't one good enough? These teachers in their greed will tell you anything to get hold of your money, but God condemned them long ago, and their destruction is on the way. Man. When I started reading this, I was saying, God, help me teach what's truth, God. Don't let me fall in this trap. This is traps for people. This is traps. And for the, you know what? There's nothing wrong with money. Can I get amen? It's the love of money is the root of all evil. One and more and more and more. Look at number six. Later, God did not spare even the angels who sinned, but threw them into hell. God threw angels into hell? That's what God said. And those folks that he's talking about, he's going to cast them in there too. Look at this. Claimed in gloomy caves and darkness until the judgment day. And he did not spare any of the people who lived in ancient times before the flood except Noah, the one man who spoke up for God. This is why, man, we need to be about our Father's business. Can I get amen? We're about Jesus. Hallelujah. We need to be men and women of faith and of Christ, and we got to hold on to our convictions. Can I get amen? Don't compromise. When you find yourself compromising, we find ourselves in this mix of people. And he did not spare any of the people who lived in ancient times before the flood except Noah, the man who spoke up for God and his family of seven. At that time, God completely destroyed the whole world of ungodly men with the vast flood. Next verse. Later, he turned the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into heaps of ashes and blotted them off the face of the earth, making them an example for all the ungodly in the future to look back and fear. So you and I, who God has given us this knowledge through God's word, we can now look back in the days of Noah and say, oh, Lord, we're living in them right now. And we're not to be like them, amen? A true child of God, yeah, with all our faults and failures, we will always want to do right before God. We will always yearn to do his will. Even when we slip and make mistakes, you're going to have that ongoing desire to love him and praise him. But there was a time where these folks, after Noah preached and preached and preached, and they all laughed and mocked. So don't get mad at your friend, your family that don't come to Christ. Don't get mad. You share, you be a light before them, and God will take care of all the rest. Guess what? You can't pull and drag any of them with you into heaven. Salvation is personal between you and God. Nobody else can come in but you and God. We can't take no one with us. Can I get amen? But at the same time, the Lord rescued Lot out of Sodom. Whoo! Come on. Now this is where the good news comes. Because look, we were living, man, I'm telling you, we were living in a life of debauchery, huh? And then he came. Look what God did. He says, you know what? I'm going to save you out of the heap of all that. And so look at yourself. God saved us from the heap, hallelujah, of destruction. Can I get an amen? Amen. If he came down, hallelujah, for a lot, he came down for us. Thank you, God. Thank you, Lord. Why? Because last week's message, we couldn't save ourselves. He came down and he chose us. Look at this. But at the same time, during the midst of wickedness, God still had mercy on whom he wanted to have mercy on. Look at this. But at the same time, the Lord rescued Lot out of Sodom because he was a good man. Sick of the terrible wickedness he saw everywhere around him day after day. You ever ask yourself this? Man, when is this madness going to stop? When's the next shooting going to take place? When's the next terrorist attack? When is all this going to come to end? You know, that's what our spirit moans and groans for, that change. So look at this. So also the Lord can rescue you and me from the temptation that surrounds us. Woo! Thank you, God. He can rescue you, and he did. He rescued us, didn't he? And continue to punish the ungodly until the day of the final judgment comes. Man, Lord, this is why we have to cry out mercy for them. God, mercy, mercy, God, mercy. Because he saved us. He saved you. He is especially hard on those who follow their own evil, lustful thoughts, and those who are proud and willful, daring even to scoff at the glorious ones without so much trembling. Did you catch that? Those folks that look at you, oh man, you nothing but a goody good two shoe. You know, you Jesus freak. You know, you guys are a bunch of hallelujahs. Look what God says here. And those who are proud and willful, daring to even scoff at the glorious ones. We are the glory. We're filled with his glory. Thank you, Lord. But they scoff at us. They laugh at us. Why? Without so much as even trembling. They don't have no regard. But keep on loving, keep on praying. Hallelujah. Keep on hoping. Can I get amen? Don't give up on them. Just don't hang out with them. They'll contaminate you. Look at this. Although the angels in heaven who stand in the very presence of the Lord and are far greater in power and strength than these false teachers never speak out disrespectfully against the evil mighty ones. Look at this. But false teachers are fools. No better than animals. They do whatever they feel like, born only to be caught and killed. They laugh at the terrifying powers of the underworld, which they know is so little about, and they will be destroyed along with all the demons and powers of hell. Jesus. Man, God. Help us, Lord. Amen. And we close with this in verse 13. That is the pay these teachers will have for their sin. For they live in evil pleasures day after day. They are a disgrace and a stain among you, deceiving you by living in foul sin on the side while they join your love feasts as though they were honest men. Jesus, help us. Continue to pray for the pastors in the nation. Continue to pray for your own pastor. Continue to pray for the servants. Continue to pray for the leaders, that God will get the glory from our lives. And if we're caught in sin, that we would repent and ask God to cleanse us and wash us. Can I get an amen? Amen. Yes, we are sealed. Yes, we are his. But God still wants us to live holy before him. Can I get an amen? Amen. We want to live holy because we love him, not because we have to. Because we want to honor him. Amen. For those of you that are married, you don't want to dishonor your wife, do you? You don't want to dishonor your husband, do you? You love them. Well, learn to love Jesus no differently. Actually, learn to love him more. Can I get an amen? Amen. Let's pray. Father God, in Jesus' name, Lord, thank you for your word. Thank you for your goodness and grace. Thank you, God, that you remind us on how graceful and merciful you are. And Lord, teach us, Lord, to number our days. We know you're coming soon. Lord, help us, Lord. Help us refrain from temptation. Help us, God, when sin is at our door. Lord, that you would give us discernment, that you would give us empowerment. Lord, that you would keep us from the tempter that comes to try to trip us up. Father, I pray, Lord, tonight, Lord, that we would leave this place, Lord, knowing, God, that you are the great and merciful King. You are the King of kings and the Lord of lords. I pray for this church. I pray for me. I pray for my wife. I pray for everyone, God. Lord, the days that we live in right now, they're evil. And Lord, that you would guard our hearts, oh God. Lord, that we would continue to do your will. Lord, that we would continue, Lord, to lay aside every weight and sin that so easily besets us. And Lord, that we would press toward the prize and the call in Christ Jesus. Oh God, strengthen us, oh God, in the times that we live in. And Lord, when it's all said and done, Lord, that we would be mindful to give you all the praise, all the glory, and all the honor, all due to your name. For it's not what we've done for you, it's what you did for us. And we could never repay you. And the only way within our being, all that we can do is worship the King. Love you and adore you. And thank you for our great and wonderful salvation. I'm praying for someone that maybe is struggling in sin, struggling against their own human nature, their humanity. And maybe they've never been set free by the power of God and by the written word. If you're listening to this message and God is speaking to you, just for the past 75 years, a man named Billy Graham, his message never changed. And the thing that he would say at the very end of his message, repent, 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 repent. And so I'm asking you the same message that this man gave for 75 years, that we would repent, turn to a holy God, ask for mercy and grace to be upon your life, be upon our lives. So if that's you, pray this prayer. Repent of your sins and turn to the Most High God, the Lord Jesus Christ, and we'll pray with you. Pray this prayer. Dear Lord Jesus, I thank you, Lord, for my life. I do believe on your death, burial, and resurrection. I believe that you died for me, and the blood that you shed on the cross will cleanse me of all my sins. Lord Jesus, I ask you now, God, to forgive me for every sin. Come into my heart. Make me a new person in Christ Jesus. From this day on, I will do my best to follow you and to honor you all the days of my life. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Give God praise and glory in the house. Hallelujah. He's worthy.
The Bible says, repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remissions of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you, and to your children, and to all that are afar off, as many as the Lord God will call. And that's our exhortation to you. We have many ministries available here for you at Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship. For a complete list of them, and to download all of our messages and sermons, please log on to our website at www.acts2-38-39.com or email us at amazing_grace@cox.net. From all of us here at Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship, may God bless you and thank you for listening.